Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. If you want to make your life more fulfilling on either a full-time or a part-time basis, meet firefighter and EMT Bob Metcalf. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Today on the show, we have Bob Metcalf. Now, Bob's passion is firefighting. He is a firefighter and an EMT. He's part of a suburban department in Rochester, New York. So, Bob, welcome to the show.
Lynette, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here and talk a little bit about what I love.
You know, we haven't spoken with anybody who is a firefighter or an EMT, so I'm looking forward to what you have to share with my audience today. Now, you know, we start the show with a quote. Did you bring one with you that's important to you?
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is one that's really been more important to me. I would say more recently, I'm a constantly evolving person, and this one has really been it for me. Perfect is the enemy of done.
Okay, and tell us how you connect.
It is... I suffer from a couple of different things. I have ADD, so I'm not going to hide that. I have a little bit of shiny object syndrome. And when I have started my ventures and my pursuits and different things, I am a perfectionist. And a couple of years ago, I used to be in a BNI networking group. And one of the closest people to me in that said, Bob, perfect is the enemy of done. I'd have all these ideas. I'd try to make them absolutely perfect. And he says, it's the grind. It's the feedback. It's the good and bad feedback that makes something truly what it needs to turn into. So perfect is the enemy of done, encompasses all that. And it's done a lot for me.
Okay. What is a BNI group?
Oh, BNI. Yeah. Business Networking International. Before I was a firefighter, I did a bunch of professional things. I was in sales. And so it was just a weekly networking group. So you'd go and meet. And the cool part about BNI was that you're around like-minded people, small business owners, typically just looking to network and spread the word through kind of like a sort of relationship marketing versus just doing cold calling and things like that. So you'd trade referrals.
Okay. Before we move on, I just want to say one thing about your quote and the idea about having kind of shiny object syndrome or ADD. And the thing is that, and you and I are both podcasters. We both started this year. You have 4 episodes out, which I was listening to your show, super, super high quality. I really enjoyed it. And I'm not even a firefighter, obviously.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I know we'll be talking about your podcast and how firefighting and this passion got you into all these other unexpected avenues in your life. But I just want to say that, you know, in this world today, with everything out there, the technology and how we're all multitasking and how there's never been as many entrepreneurs, or this is the best time to start your own business, that with all of those things pulling at our focus, it's very easy to say, well, wait, I don't know everything about this. So I'm going to find out everything about this first before I finally launch or before I finally act. But the beauty of it is that the learning is in the acting.
You hit the nail on the head, and both I and you being recent podcasters, obviously you've done a lot more than I have, but I think I can speak for you in saying that when you started out, you see, okay, I've got to join this course to learn about podcasting. And well, I don't know everything about microphones, so I'm going to go spend a week or two doing that. And then I'm going to learn about web design and WordPress and how to do all that. And then you realize I'm 2 months in and I've done absolutely nothing for myself. And that goes with anything, podcasting, your business, your personal life, anything. And when I just started doing, I sat down one night and said, Bob, let's just do this. And now I have something to show for it. And I'm 4 episodes in and absolutely loving it. So.
And the other thing is, let's not forget, you also have twin sons who are 7 months old.
Yeah. This has been a crazy year. In 2015, I was a volunteer firefighter before for 7 years, and I grew up in the fire service. So I got accepted as a paid firefighter. I started right at the beginning of January of 2015. We had twin boys in April, and then I decided to start a podcast. So I've done all that this year. Needless to say, it's been pretty crazy. So
I hope they were born April 20th. That's my birthday.
April 23rd. Very close.
Oh, that's Shakespeare's birthday.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
I'll have to, there's got to be something to that. So we'll have to get us some Shakespeare quotes on their shelves or something.
That's right. I agree with that. Okay. So we know that your passion is firefighting. Tell us how that did start for you.
Sure. So I grew up in the fire service, and my stepfather was a volunteer firefighter in the area I grew up my entire life. I don't have a memory without the fire service being in it. I grew up with, I'm still very close friends with kids that I grew up with. Aside from just firefighting, there's a lot of social aspects to it. So all those families really bind together and stay very close. So I did the junior firefighting thing, which is sort of like, you're 14 to 18 years old, did all that. I went away to college and went away and had my first couple of jobs. So that took about 6 years out of that mix where I was away from firefighting. But when I moved back home to Rochester in 2008, I got back into it. I got my EMT certification very quickly, became a volunteer, and continued doing that up until this year when I was accepted professionally. And I don't know what it is. It's sort of a, I don't know if it's a gene. You got to be a little bit weird, a little bit crazy. I think the ADD really does help with it. But you know what it is? It's fulfilling. And a lot of people, it sounds a little bit, I don't know what the word is, but I don't want to say cheesy, but it's just that find something that is fulfilling to you. A lot of people go volunteer at food cupboards or soup kitchens or doing, Habitat for Humanity. Volunteer firefighting was something that I absolutely loved doing every single time. I mean, I'd get up from the dinner table to go help somebody who's having the worst day of their life. And I just am lucky enough now to be able to get paid to do that. So,
I remember when I started teaching, and for probably the first literally 5 years, I would get teary looking at my husband saying over dinner or something, this job is so important. What I do is so important. It's so much more important than you could ever fathom teaching to be. And I feel that's the same way for you. Like you just said, my house did catch on fire once. I was on the street with the firemen and all the trucks and all the craziness, and they did save my home. And so I understand what that means when you're standing out there with the hamster cage and your favorite blanket because you just were so taken off guard. You don't even know what's going on at the moment. And to have people come in and take care of you and take care of your home, I have goosebumps all over right now just thinking about seriously how important what you do is.
Yeah. And we get a lot of, wow, I really respect what you do and thank you so much for what you do. And I don't think there's a firefighter out there that, I mean, we say thank you very much, but you don't have to say that. Like, that's sort of my canned response to it. And I don't do this for thanks. I do it because I love doing it. I do it because I know not everybody can do it. There's not a lot of people that are willing to go into a 500 degree, 600, 700. I mean, some fires are over 1,000 degrees. Now, that's not sustainable to life very long. But the bottom line is we're going and risking ourselves. We're exposing ourselves to very sick people. Some do it, on a volunteer basis. Some do it professionally. But we don't look at ourselves as heroes. And I don't know why that is. I don't certainly look at myself as a hero. I look at it as I have this ability that God gave me to be able to do something truly special. I better go do it and do it really, really good.
And I think that's probably true for the majority of people who are doing what they just know they're meant to do. They don't think about, oh, look at me, or I'm a hero, or it just is.
It's like an Oprah. It's an Oprah. I mean, was she the world's best interviewer? Absolutely not. Was she the world's best, talk show host? Some would argue not. But look at what she turned into and how many lives she affected by doing it and loving it.
Yeah, I hope to do that. I really, I do. I hope to affect people in a way like, in an empowering way like that. Okay, so tell me, what kind of challenges or hesitations did you have? Now, I know you had kids on the way and all of this. I mean, what were your hesitations going into firefighting full time?
Yeah. So I think the biggest obstacle is getting the job. And it's different wherever you go in the country. Some places are absolutely just begging and trying to steal to get firefighters. And then in an area like mine, it is a hugely sought after job, hundreds, if not thousands of people take the civil service test to try to get it. and departments aren't growing very rapidly in a lot of places. You go down south, you go to places like Charlotte, you know, they're rapidly expanding and hiring firefighters left and right. But where I'm at, it doesn't grow very much. So, you know, through your volunteering, through making yourself aware, through doing very, very, you know, just being known in the firefighting community, I think really helps. So having that limited availability of these positions can be disheartening at some times. And I just had to sit back and have a positive mindset, say, listen, I'm going to network. I'm going to make sure people know my name. I'm going to make sure that when I get that interview, because I will get that interview, that I look professional, I act professional, I'm well prepared. I mean, I was never a Boy Scout, but that whole, you know, be prepared thing totally resonates with me. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the keys to the success of getting the job. So the hardest part was that I knew. The cool part was being a volunteer already. I knew what the job entailed for the most part. So it wasn't like, oh, hey, I've lived, you know, worked in a library or doing sales my whole life. Now I'm going to go fight fires and do EMS. That wasn't the case. So I at least knew what the end game was. Having that end game in mind, I think really, really helped me focus.
What do you think you learned about yourself during that?
Holy cow. Resiliency, persistence. I became very, very self-aware. I have found that I'm now much, much more willing to ask questions and know that I don't know everything. It's humbling to be around guys that have done this longer than I've been alive. I literally have a guy who's retiring next year who's been on the job longer than I've been alive. And so, you know, the joke is, you know, you've forgotten more than I've learned, but it's so true. Mm-hmm. And so be humble. Learn, stand on the shoulders of giants, because that's the best way to do it. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I'm just trying to learn from the guys that created that thing.
And you know, for my listeners, I know that there are listeners out there who want to volunteer, whether it's something like EMT or firefighter, that they're drawn to these different organizations or these different positions. And the thing that I like that you said is that you could do this part-time. It's not something you have to quit your day job to do, to bring something so fulfilling into your life.
And that's it. And it depends on the community, right? So there's some, I mean, if you're in New York City, like in the middle of New York City, obviously there's not a volunteer fire department, but all the suburbs have them. So what it is seek out your fire department, and some have different boundaries. So some towns will take people from the next town over, or they will take only people from their town. Do some research. It's not an easy onboarding process. And I will say that is that obviously they don't want to go, okay, hey, day one, here's your boots, here's your helmet, and go in and fight fires. It does take some time, some training. There's physicals. A lot of states are mandating, you know, having what we call like a baseline course, firefighter one and firefighter two. So the training takes time. I would say from the day one you walk through that firehouse saying, hey, I want to join, to the time you're probably even slightly ready is probably about a year. It is something that you kind of have to stick with, but it's a great learning process throughout that year. And you're going to get out of it as much as you put into it. You can go and be a really bad firefighter by, okay, I got my minimum certifications. I'm ready to go, and I'm just going to go to the big fun stuff. Well, a lot of that little stuff's really important too. And I know a lot of places are hurting for manpower. And if you think that you can do that and fulfill it, a need and a desire within you, then by all means, go do that right now.
Well, and the thing is too, Bob, that if this is your passion, you're excited for the learning process. You don't even care that it takes a year. I mean, because when I went and got my Master's of Fine Arts in Creative Writing, when I went through my coaching program, I was just as excited for the learning and getting to know the people as I was for the outcome.
And that's exactly it. So as long as you have that mindset, you're going to do just fine. And the resources that are out there, both free and paid, for learning how to, I mean, you could train a lot online with just a few hours on YouTube with the amount of training that's available out there. But you talk to these experienced guys around the firehouse, and 99.9% of them are going to go way out of their way to help you. I know I do. If I'm asked, you know, our department right now, we're a combination. We're career, you know, paid firefighters and volunteer. And we've got a group of guys that are super young and they just want to learn. And I love it. They keep me energized. And well, you know, what's the best way to learn something? To teach it, correct? You're a teacher.
Yep.
And so the more I teach it, the better I'll be at it.
Now, if somebody wants to look into what you've accomplished or look into, because there's firefighting, but there's also EMTs. Mm-hmm. And I know even high school students were involved with the EMT. I also know I had high school students who volunteered in different capacities at the firehouse too, which I thought was really, really great for them to be around these strong male role models, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, Bob, did you bring a title of a book that could help inspire my audience today?
Absolutely. And it's the one hands down that is my favorite self-help, you know, professional or personal development book I've ever read. It's short. You can read it in a day. It's called The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy.
Okay. What do you love so much about it?
It's short and you can read it in a day. no, but you know what? And this was another thing that's the same guy that told me the quote about perfect is the enemy of done is don't look at the size of a book to determine its worth. Mm-hmm. And I had that habit. I want to buy the biggest, fattest books to learn from. This book is the smallest book on my bookshelf, I do believe. Besides like Who Moved My Cheese, this thing is the smallest book. And what it is Darren Hardy is the editor of Success Magazine. It's the compound effect. So think of it. You put a few pennies away for years, the compound effect builds over time and it, you know, you create this wealth, right? But it's not just about money. And he talks about how little incremental steps you can take day in and day out will lead to just massive success in money, in relationships, in your professional and personal life. And I just latched onto it. It's super simple reading. It's not high level concepts. It's not a lot of, you know, things that you've heard before. It's very anecdotal. I mean, you're going to get a lot of stories, but I'm okay with that. And that really resonated well with me. Anybody, anywhere, it doesn't matter what you're reading it for, I think you'll get something out of it. There was a tip in it, and he talked about, and I stole it right out of the book, I'll be dead honest with you. He wrote down every day something he loved about his wife for a year. And then I think I don't know if it was a birthday or an anniversary or Christmas, he gave her that list. And she broke down. So I was like, I'm going to rip this idea off. Did it for my wife. She absolutely broke down. It was at Christmas. I gave it to her. Aww. And it was so cool. But you know what it did? Is it wasn't a chore, so that's kind of cool, but it made me every day think about why do I love her in a completely different way. And it'd be stupid things. I mean, I'd write down, I love the color of your eyes. I like the way that you burned the chicken at dinner tonight, but we still got through. You know what I mean?
Right, yes.
It didn't have to be all this crazy, mushy stuff, but you go, wow, I've got a lot to be thankful for. So that was one of the things I took from that book, and everybody needs to read it.
Yeah, that's similar to a gratitude journal, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yep. The 5-minute journal, which was something I'm sure if you've ever heard of online business, everyone knows Pat Flynn. And one day he did a tour of his office, his home office, and there was something called the 5-minute journal. So I looked it up, and all it is it's a daily journal that's scripted, and it says, you know, it starts with a daily quote, and then it says, you know, the three things that would make me successful today if I got done are, and then my daily affirmation. And so you do that in the morning. And at the end of the day, you say, you know, three things that I'm glad I did. And then how could I have made today better? And it's just a daily version of that over and over again. Very similar to the compound effect.
Right. And the journal that you did though for your wife, it's similar, except it's just directed specifically at one person.
Exactly. Right. It was just one line per day of, you know, something I was thankful for her.
Yeah. I like that. I really like that. Mm-hmm. Gratitude journals, the way that I've learned to do them, because there's of course all different ways, but if you write down when you get to work three things that you were grateful for this morning, could be my alarm went off, I had hot water in the shower, mm-hmm. I actually got to eat breakfast, right? Mm-hmm. And then as the day goes on, when there's something else that crosses your path, cross one of those off and replace it with something else. And by the time you get to the end of the day, you realize, wow, I had 25 things to be grateful for today. Big or small, they made my day better.
Exactly. And we don't have to have big wins all the time, right? Like you don't have to hit $1 million in the lottery. You don't have to, you know, nail or sell the biggest account of the day. It's the little wins. And that's the compound effect. That's why I loved it. And that's why I think, at least if you want to call me successful, that's why I've gotten to where I've been.
Okay, great. Now listen, this part of the show, I call it the Motivate Me Express to Success, because mm-hmm. I believe in order to get people to act, it's really three simple steps. First, envision it for yourself, then explore it, then execute a plan. So let's talk about envision first. For somebody to see themselves developing their passion for firefighting or EMT, what should they see for themselves?
All right, so if you want to see and picture yourselves as a firefighter, I think the best thing is to go do it. Go volunteer. Even as simple as an open house, almost every EMT or EMS, you know, agency or fire department has an open house, and they'll willingly talk to you about it. And you kind of start to draw that picture.
Okay. So then to explore.
To explore And it kind of blends from that first part that we just talked about. But to explore it, now you're actually getting involved with it. Whether that is signing up, is becoming the volunteer, is going out and doing the training. You don't have to be part of an agency to, let's say, go become an EMT. You can go do that on your own. So all of that is available for you. And a simple internet search, you know, could bring you to a whole world between the forums that are available and user groups.
Okay. And then to execute.
To execute, it's go do it. I think that the volunteering is very addictive, very, very addictive, to the point where your family may go, hey, you're really okay with getting up in the middle of the night and losing sleep and leaving us at the dinner table and having that pager on Christmas dinner. Just do it, embrace it, and be really good at it.
And, you know, something that I have found in the interviews that I've been doing that's been pretty powerful is, for most people, while their passions could be all different things, mm-hmm. in the end, a lot of it is just that the giving of the thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Even I had one guest who was a flamenco dancer, mm-hmm. but, you know, and I had another guest who likes comedy, but it was what they were giving the audience, even for them, you know? And so I have other guests who are volunteers or people who are doing, let's say, like you. And the thing is, what are they doing for others? And it's really pretty powerful to see that humanity is rising to the top.
There's a lot of, and I see it, there's a lot of bad in this world. And there's even more good. And the problem is we hear more about the bad because it brings you headlines and it makes newspaper, you know, front pages. And so I guess the most fulfilling part of my job is, you know, we go see people on literally the worst day of their life, whether it's medical or fire. And just for them to look and go, thank you for helping my father, or thank you for, I mean, we had, unfortunately, it was a CPR call that, you know, we weren't allowed or weren't able to bring the person back. And the husband, you know, came over and said, he's thanking us. And we're not there for that. Like, you have way bigger fish to fry right now, sir, than thanking us. But thank you for thinking that, you know, that we did our best, because we did.
Well, in the end, what do you think he's going to be thinking about?
I don't know what goes through your mind at that point.
Well, you know, I think later, maybe not right then, but later, what is he thinking about? He's thinking, did I do everything I could? And you're part of that.
Okay, yes. So exactly. And I think there's a lot that goes through those brains. And when you see the work that we do, some call it special. I just call it, you know, like I said, I don't want to call it a job because that makes it sound automated, but it is our job and it is our duty to serve as best as we can.
What kind of closing advice would you give everybody?
Yeah, this one really resonates with me. And, you know, I love how, you know, we set up this interview and the podcast in advance, and I love doing my sort of own brainstorming. So one of the best pieces of advice I've always told young people is always stay relevant. What that means to me, so my career is far different. I was an on-air meteorologist at one point, and I evolved into sales and into other different things. As my life evolved, I saw those, my needs and my family growing, becoming a family, and all that. And I needed to stay relevant in the sense that I needed to make sure that I was positioning myself and family for success and longevity. And that's why my career has evolved so many different ways. It's kind of a weird road, but I'm really proud of that because I never settled and I've never been one to settle. So if you are in a job that you dislike, or this revolving wheel that you feel like, you know, you get up at 9 or you go to work at 9, you come home at 5, you eat dinner, throw on TV for 3 hours, go to bed, that's not good. And you're not relevant. Stay relevant, because there's too many things. This world is rapidly changing. And if you let it go by you, you are going to be left in the dust.
You know, I really think, because I always talk about life process on this show and how we connect the dots to everywhere we've been and all of our past experiences. And, you know, you just kind of touched on that just now. You've done this, you've done that. You were on air as a weatherman, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Correct.
And you were in sales, mm-hmm. and you've always been a part of the firehouse, mm-hmm. and you went to college though, and you took a break, you got other experiences. And I have to tell you, you're really driven. You're very well-read based on our current discussion.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And, you know, all of this experience, even what you're doing now, I'm very curious to see where this is all going to take you even later, because I don't think that this is your final stop, in my personal opinion.
Well, the cool part about the fire service is that you do, you know, you can retire, you know, usually earlier than some. We are a civil service position. So, you know, I'm eligible for retirement at age 55. I know I'm the type of person that will keep moving forward, hands down, whether it's in the fire service, teaching, who knows?
Exactly. I could see you staying within the fire service, but I don't know. I'm curious too. And I think that your experience doing your podcast right now is something else that's going to be added to this beautiful fire that you're building.
It is. And the podcast is already, just after four episodes, has taken off in directions. I went in and I said, I don't want to have too much control. I want to go where my audience and my guests think and need me to go. And I've done that and I've stayed true to that. And I've already got some really cool ways that we're going and people reaching out. And it's really, really exciting. And that's kind of how I like to live my life, right? Is you know what, just kind of go with the flow. And I wasn't always like that. I was always a person that had to have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan. I know where I'm going. And once I let go of that, it just, everything gets better.
I talk about that on a different episode on a Friday reflection. I said, you know, I was trying so hard that the episode was supposed to be about controlling your life. But in the end, I realized that it's about surrendering. It's about letting go and not controlling. And that's when things fall into place.
Mm-hmm. This is really nerdy. So please don't hold this against me. But there was in Star Wars, if you remember, they talked about Governor or whatever. They said, you know, the more you tighten your grip, the more star systems are going to fall through, you know, fall out of your hand, basically. How true is that?
Exactly. That's exactly. I am not familiar with that line. However, it's right on target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now you got to go watch Star Wars for research, right?
Well, I know everybody's rewatching all of the Star Wars movies, so I should probably be doing that, I suppose, but I just haven't found the time yet. Okay. So what kind of contact information do we have for you?
Sure. So the podcast is pretty simple. I try to stick really with just Facebook and Twitter. That's where the most firefighters are and what they're the most familiar with. So I don't try to do Instagram and this and that and 12 other different things. So if you want to reach me on Twitter, it's at The Fire Podcast. And then the website is just firefighterpodcast.com. And we're also on iTunes. If you search firefighter, we're one of the first that pops up as well. So you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, you know, all the routes that we could find your podcast. I'm sure I'm there.
Okay. And you're part of Motivate Me, the ultimate support system. So we're going to make sure you're part of that. And people can also connect with you there.
Absolutely. Would love to do that. And just as a little teaser as well, and I kind of alluded it to you before we started this interview, but stay tuned. I am going to do something that's kind of in the self-help motivation realm in the future. I've got to get my podcast going before I try to take on too much. But 2016, I plan on having that come out too, if that's okay for me to say.
Of course. Good luck on that. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Really, really excellent information and interview. And obviously your passion is evident. I'm sure many people were inspired by what you had to share with them today. So I appreciate that.
Well, I hope so. If I helped one person, I think that this was a successful venture for us. So
I agree. Now, listen, at the end of the show, I give listeners a go-do. So today, listeners, your go-do is, and what would you like to add there?
Yeah.
Mr. Metcalf.
Go read something that is out of your normal range and do something that inspires you.
I love it. That's it, everybody. That's the end of the show. Remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.